Rewind is an award-winning insider's look at Wisconsin politics and public policy. Brought to you by Wisconsin Eye and wispolitics.com. To become a program sponsor, please send an email to rewind@wisi.org.
I believe united we stand, and we have common ground to find, and we're going to find it. We're not going to be
I'm Steve Walters.
And I'm J.R. Ross.
And this is Rewind for a week with a fascinating Supreme Court election. But before we get to that, I was there. Harsh opening comments from Senator Darling, Representative Taylor, Representative Nygren, as the budget debate opens in Joint Finance Committee, a law school forum on the lame duck laws. A very articulate child with autism says we must do better. A DNR official says trail cameras means we personalize deer on our land. And finally, Representative Jim Ott talks about the drunk driver who killed the ninth grade friend he was walking with and just missed killing Representative Ott. Wish I was there.
If this budget goes forward, there will be a $2 billion structural deficit, and that concerns us.
Good money for a billionaire Foxconn owner, but when the people needed you to fix their roads, when they needed you to make investments in public education, in special ed, which has been flatlined, in bilingual education, which has been flatlined, you turned your back.
Today is a reset for the budget as proposed, and the next several months will allow us to lay a case and a roadmap for where Wisconsin should be going.
One of the most surprising features of Wisconsin law is if you have a Wisconsin Court of Appeals case that didn't get reversed by the Wisconsin Supreme Court, that has statewide stare decisis effect, the same effect as a Wisconsin Supreme Court decision. No kidding, look it up.
If the legislature's so concerned, they can just pass the laws again. Most of the things that have happened in the 38 years that Misha keeps stretching into 45 years, but 38 years worth of extraordinary sessions, are uncontroversial. Most of it would pass easily today.
The evidence, both scientific and anecdotal, of the breadth and depth of water quality challenges our state faces has become too numerous to ignore. And like any parents, we want our baby girl to have safe water now, when she's particularly vulnerable, and every day going forward.
Being autistic, I've been singled out for most of my life for being different. Not because of my skin, or my religion, or my appearance, but because of my neurology. We need to work on making a space where people can not only be physically different, but mentally different.
People's focus on deer and attention to deer has changed for a variety of reasons. Everybody knows exactly what is on their land if they have that interest through the use of trail cameras. So now we're starting to almost personalize or individualize deer for the hunting community particularly.
When I was 14 years old in the ninth grade, just started ninth grade, and I was crossing the street with a classmate, and he's standing right next to me, and a drunk driver came careening down the road, this is at the noon hour now, and hit him and missed me by a few inches. If our positions would have been reversed, I would have been killed, and he would be alive today. And my recollection back in those days is that guy got 6 months in jail, which is absolutely an atrocity.
There is a certain stillness, a certain ambience about a drunk driving fatality that you do not see in a shooting, that you do not see in a in any other species of homicide. And these are homicides. These are not accidents, where you look at the individuals involved and you just think to yourself, what a ridiculous, stupid waste caused by one person's idiocy.
Tuesday election, the unofficial results, Hagedorn 50.2%, a lead of about 5,900 out of 1.2 million cast, 26% of voting age voted. Surprise?
I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I saw this coming when we did the show last week. But in talking to people about what was going on, I understood the path. And the path was that there was this renewed energy in the conservative base because of Governor Evers' budget, the lame duck lawsuits, two Dane County judges throwing out laws Republicans passed, the Mueller report. I mean, pick your source of inspiration among conservatives, and the perception that Hagedorn's faith was being attacked in this campaign. Okay. That energy was there. The question was that money that came in late from the Republican State Leadership Committee, if that could harness that along with the multitude of groups that were doing canvassing for Hagedorn, and it turns out they could, and they did. So, same time, I'm not going to lie to you, it's the biggest upset in a statewide race in my 19 years covering the Capitol.
Biggest
easily.
In 19 years?
Statewide race, yes. Now, they're lower, you know, like Patty Schottner last year winning.
I understand.
No, statewide race, yes.
Okay. Well, this is a great time to hear from potentially Justice Hagedorn on his Wednesday press conference. Why don't we hear from him, and then we'll come back to this fascinating election.
One of the facts that was mentioned was that there's no precedent for somebody being outspent in some respects the way I was in this race and winning. But there is now. We made history. We made history in a significant way. And our margin of victory looks to be insurmountable. It's really a win for, I think, the state of Wisconsin. You know, I've run this race saying that my commitment was to the rule of law. That the job of a judge is to say what the law is and not what I think the law should be. I think that won last night. I don't think we've ever seen a recount in recent history that's been anywhere close to seeing that margin be overcome. And that's why we feel confident. This is not a margin of a few hundred votes where canvassing is going to, you know, change the outcome here. You know, barring something extraordinarily unusual, this lead is a lead that I think will be durable. The biggest thing in this race is this was an organic grassroots effort. I mean, you cannot look at the money that was spent in this race and the way we were outspent and see this victory as anything other than the people rising up from the bottom up and saying that they believed in this vision that I was outlining and that I have said consistently throughout this campaign. And that's why we won. We won because the people worked incredibly hard.
Okay, I'm going to stay with this because it was a fascinating election. So let's just recount. At the moment, unofficially, Judge Hagedorn has a 5,900 vote lead, which he calls insurmountable. We heard that. Mm-hmm. He was outspent. Both his campaign and third-party groups were outspent by the Neubauer and third-party groups supporting her. His win maintains a conservative court majority, if indeed there's no recount, and he's certified. And then finally, before I turn it over to you, Judge Neubauer in a Facebook appeal said that her supporters should stick with me and sorting out the options, e.g. a recall, will take time. Okay. What PSs do you want to offer?
So let's start with a recount piece first. We both covered recounts, statewide elections. Unless they find an error in the county canvasses, which I mean like County X flipped the results accidentally,
yes.
Misplaced a ward or two, something like that. Unless there's a major mistake in the county canvass, which is the second. So we got official results,
yes.
Tuesday night. They go back and double check them.
Yep.
They have a deadline.
Counties must report the canvass totals by April 12th, according to the Elections Commission.
So unless you find a mistake in there, unless you find bags of ballots that were missed the first time around, unless there is something dramatic like that, 6,000 votes, give or take, you know, whatever it is not a lead you're going to see go away. It just doesn't happen. In the 2016 recount of the presidential results, 131 votes was the difference after it was all out of 2.96 million cast.
That's right.
You're not going to see a big change. With this race, and one of the postmortems I've heard this week is that, you know, Hagedorn was interesting. He got attacked about the old blog post.
His law school blog post.
The school he helped found that, you know, bars employees in gay relationships, that he turned that into its attack on his faith. It's really interesting that he never apologized, never backed down, never shied away from it, turned it into an offense, took it and went on offense with it. And you saw all these groups, these conservative groups that were doing canvassing for him, that were out knocking on doors, they harnessed that energy. It played into that, again, that energy that people talk about with the conservatives getting off the mat from last fall and kind of dusted off going, okay, they're ready for a fight again. With Neubauer, you know, in every campaign I've covered, when you lose your second guest, everything that you did is second guest. Yes, in her ads, she talked about her experience. But in the spots from greater Wisconsin, a lot of it focused on the social issues. That added fuel to the fire of that conservative base kind of reawakening. And it gave people a reason to vote against Hagedorn, but I want to vote for Neubauer. There wasn't that same level of enthusiasm for her that conservatives
have. I cannot remember someone's personal faith playing this greater role in a statewide election. Can you?
No, and to use it effectively. And I've heard from people who are doing doors saying that they heard that from folks on the doors they talked to, that they were, I mean, look, you know, Madison and Milwaukee are a different place than the Fox Valley in northern Wisconsin, okay? So I understand that those issues can motivate voters in Dane County, where you have to have high turnout if you're a Democrat or liberal to get, you know, to get elected. But people argued to me that a better path would have been use that stuff a month out from the race to soften him up, scare away the business groups, make people shy away. But in the closing argument, should have been about her experience compared to his. I mean, she was a judge longer than he was. She's in the courtroom longer than he was. She has a much broader and deeper breadth of experience than he does. Play up that. Play up the endorsements, not just from the judges, but sheriffs and district attorneys. And I know she talked about it, but it wasn't the focus that people saw on the air, in part because of Greater Wisconsin.
And you talked about the second guessing. Is that second guessing, did she run too cautious a campaign?
Absolutely. They played prevent defense a lot. Now, here's the other thing. People compare this race to last year with Rebecca Dallet beating Michael Skrenick by 11.5 points.
It was a blowout.
Fewer than a million people turned out from that race a year ago. But 1.2 million this time. It's a reflection of the conservative base was dispirited last year. The blue wave was building, right? They weren't very enthusiastic. He didn't run a great campaign last year. She did. That played a role. Neubauer's people tell you that they were comfortable. At a million votes, they were totally comfortable. They would have won this race in their minds. 1.1 million? Okay. 1.2 million to them was a sign that, again, that conservative base was energized and came out. Look, Neubauer got great numbers out of Dane County. She really did. I mean, it's mind-blowing how well Democrats are doing out of Dane County.
She got 120,116 votes, which is actually more than the 107,000 that Dallet got.
So there was turnout up all over the place. But what happened was in that those wow counties, Waukesha, Ozaukee,
Washington. I
want
to talk about those numbers.
The turnout returned to normal levels. The percentages hit normal percentages. You know, what you saw like 60-some percent of Waukesha County, 75% in Ozaukee County. That's what we used to see, but didn't see with President Trump in 2016.
Okay, I want to pursue this, JR. I want to talk about eight specific counties. I want to talk about five counties that voted for Rebecca Dallet a year ago and that voted for Brian Hagedorn. And I want to isolate those counties. The biggest change in terms of the additional votes picked up by the conservative candidate, Brown County, where Hagedorn got 9,500 votes more than Michael Skronik. Then Outagamie, 8,000 more votes for Hagedorn than Skronik. Then Winnebago, and 7,300. Then Marathon County, an additional 5,000 for Hagedorn, then Skronik. And finally, Kenosha, 2,982. When you add up the additional votes for Hagedorn over Skronik in just those five counties, it's 33,600 votes. Mm-hmm. Now, my second point, and then I'll let you in, I promise, is your Wow County totals. Wow County, Waukesha, Ozaukee, and Washington. In Waukesha, Mr. Hagedorn, Judge Hagedorn, got 21,724 more votes than Judge Skronik a year ago. In Ozaukee, 3,300. In Washington, Judge Hagedorn got 8,162 votes more than Skronik. And finally, I want to talk about Milwaukee. In Milwaukee, Judge Hagedorn got 11,792 votes more than Skronik 1 year ago. Okay, that's my numbers. Now, so you're telling me that's going back to the patterns of, what, 2016?
Oh, no. Supreme Court race, yes, not the presidential race.
Okay.
So one of the things to notice is it's kind of difficult to compare what happened Tuesday to a year ago because last year was a blowout, different turnout, right? What I come away from with this election is, and I caution people who try to project from what happened on Tuesday to what's going to happen in November of 2020. I've seen folks try to do it, you know, more power to them if they want to. When I've talked to folks, they've said, hold off a second, because all this really reconfirms is what the map looks like anymore. That map is southwestern Wisconsin and Dane County are for Democrats, Milwaukee County for Democrats. There's a whole lot of red in that middle. It kind of reinforces that map. We know we're going to be close in 2020, all right? Yep. However, Milwaukee County in a spring election does not turn out the way it does in a November election. It just doesn't. President Trump did not hit 75% in Ozaukee County 3 years ago. He's unlikely to hit it again next fall. We've seen the suburban problem for Donald Trump, right? I don't know that you can count on Waukesha County perform like it did for a Supreme Court race,
okay,
in a presidential election. Still, if you are a conservative, a Republican, you got a giant enthusiasm boost out of what happened on Tuesday, because you had been knocked on your seat from what happened November 2018, last year's Supreme Court election. Now you're feeling jazzed up.
Okay.
So now we're Democrats, they got to match that juice next fall. But however, we have a long time between now and November of 2020.
An eternity in politics. Yes, it is. Okay, and I want to turn the page now to talk about...
One P.S. about this. When I said it's the biggest upset I've ever seen, state candidates. So okay, like Donald Trump winning Wisconsin, November 2016.
That's your biggest.
That's probably another one right there.
Okay.
But this state candidate, this is, yeah.
Okay, now I want to talk about the process. The release from the Elections Commission says that if you want to seek a recount, you have 3 days after counties certify their totals. So now let's talk about the recount changes just quickly. After Jill Stein in 2016 got 1% of the vote, she was able to demand a recount. She paid $2 million for that. Then the Republicans changed the rules. The loser can only seek a recount if the margin is 1% or less, 0.1. The recount is free, only if the loser's margin is within 0.25%. Between 0.25% and 1%, loser pays recount costs. Judge Neubauer is seeking money. It's fair to ask, how likely is a potential recount?
Maybe. I mean, I'm sure she'll be able to raise the money if she wants to seek one. The question is, again, can you really expect the results to change at 6,000 votes? Likely not. Oh, by the way, Judge Neubauer, there's an election next year if she wanted to run again. Also, her appeals court seat, I believe, is up next year. So if you drag this out, does it harm your long-term prospects? Okay. Something to watch.
Okay. Now, I'm coming up with this. A new state model is too close to call. Mm-hmm. And so I'm justifying it by Justice Prosser, after a recount for the Supreme Court, won with 50.1% of the vote. Republican Governor Scott Walker was reelected with 52 in 2014. President Trump won Wisconsin, as you alluded to, with 47.2% of the vote. Tony Evers was elected governor with 49.5% of the vote. And appeals court judge Brian Hagedorn may have just won the seat of Justice Abramson with 50.2% of the vote. Does this spell purple?
Yeah, I mean, the exceptions have been...
What a polarized state.
Barack Obama is the exception to the rule, right? I mean, he won the state by 7 points in 12 and like 14 and 8.
And you alluded to the Dalit victory.
Dalit. Spring elections are different. So like Tony Evers won big in his reelection in 2017, right, for
state superintendent. Right.
We saw a couple Supreme Court races that have been like wider margins. But for the most part, if you're talking true partisan races, yeah, we're pretty split. And that's why if you looked at 2020, we're going to be in the top 4 or 5 swing states, barring somebody collapsing on the other side.
Well, and especially when we're hosting the Democratic convention, it just raises the stakes in the profile of Wisconsin. Okay, moving on, but what a fascinating election. Did you hear, you and I listened to a lot probably of the budget briefings. Did you hear Republicans say one nice thing about Governor Evers' budget? I heard one senator thank a cabinet secretary for calling him back on a Sunday. Mm-hmm. Beyond that, I mean, they went after the keystones, the centerpieces of the governor's budget. Even Senator Luther Olson, chairman of the Senate Education Committee, says we don't have an additional $1.5 billion to spend on K-12 schools. Then they questioned whether driver's licenses should be issued to someone who's undocumented. They jumped all over, as we'll hear in a minute, the governor's plan to decriminalize possession of up to 30 grams of marijuana. And they were all over Secretary Palm about expanding Medicaid coverage. And interesting, this dialogue over the minimum markup and whether it would offset the 9.6%, eight cents he wants up front, and then you index and it gets you to 9.6%. I can't think. What were the markers that Republicans on the Joint Finance Committee were laying down this week in budget briefing?
Everything that Evers wants is going to go. What's interesting is, and I just had a conversation a little while ago, somebody told me about that for almost every member on finance, well, most of them, Republican member, they're now just getting used to playing offense. For the last 8 years, every time they had a hearing, they were deferring to the Walker administration. It was the Democrats going on offense, trying to pick things apart. they're getting used to like the new dynamic. It's right. not their budget anymore. It's or their party's budget coming out of the governor's office. It's the Democratic budget coming out. So that's a different dynamic in that room than what I'm used to seeing the last 8 years. It'll be interesting to watch again the process going forward. What's this mean for reaching a compromise? Maybe.
Which is a great time to hear from segments of Joint Finance called in the secretaries of the major, the most important agencies. So let's hear some of that back and forth. Listen closely to minimum markup, the question of Secretary Designate Craig Thompson. Will repealing that wipe out the 9.6%? And listen to Senator Tiffany, then Senator Erpenbach on marijuana. Can we please hear that?
Marquette poll said that Wisconsin's on the right track, and a lot of the reforms that we instituted are in place and are working. I'd like to also point out that there's over $6 billion of spending in this budget. Our taxpayers had told us they want us to live within our means, and they want us to balance the budget responsibly and not have deficits. If this budget goes forward, there will be a $2 billion structural deficit. And that concerns us.
You all ran on it. Your colleagues ran on issues of fixing roads, of funding public education, of making sure people had access to health care. So now the rubber meets the road, so to speak. You have an opportunity now to vote for a budget that reflects those priorities. You have an opportunity now to use $1.6 billion in new federal money that you refuse to use to expand access to health care for people with disabilities, for our seniors, for our children, for women, for families. Are you going to turn your back once more on the people of the state of Wisconsin, or are you going to embrace this budget?
One of the things that's proposed in the governor's budget for your department, and the governor spoke about this in his budget address before the legislature, is a minimum markup change. And the governor said that this will reduce the price of gasoline by 14 cents. Is that... Do you believe that it will reduce it by that amount, or what amount do you believe it will reduce it by?
So I think if you just if you do the mathematical equation, it requires that we mark up the price of gasoline by 9.18%. Right now, gasoline's at about $2.69 a gallon, so it'd probably be a little over 14 cents that markup would be. Now, the effect of if this is repealed, would 100% of that be offset? I don't know if that would happen that way. So the market would end up bearing, but it most certainly would have a significant downward impact on the price of gas.
So you believe it would be less, but you don't believe it would be 14 cents?
I don't know that the entire amount would come off. We're not going to know until we see it play out in the marketplace.
We already established that the biggest new investment is on the State Highway Rehabilitation Fund in this budget, 15.5%. And a lot of that's going to go to rural roads. Is that correct?
That's absolutely correct. And that was the point of showing the map earlier.
Great. The only other thing I wanted to say is it seems like my Republican colleagues have a lot of questions about the minimum markup repeal. But I want to just acknowledge that Senator Strobel does have a bill that Senator Darling is on to repeal the minimum markup. So perhaps they have done an independent analysis of what that means for the state that they could share. Thank you.
This is one where I find it outrageous that this governor, who has taught children for years, is the head of public instruction in the state of Wisconsin, and now is the governor of the state of Wisconsin, and he says, we're going to legalize marijuana, because that's what it is. It's not just legalizing medical marijuana. It is legalizing marijuana. And I think we do not fully understand the impacts of this to young people in this state. And if you take a look at what is happening in some of the other states that have went full-blown legalization, this is a path we better go down very very skeptically, and I think we need to go down that path at a very slow pace.
I urge my colleagues to stop and take a look at their family around them, their friends around them. There is somebody in your family or some of your friends have used marijuana as part of their treatment when they're dealing with cancer, when they are dealing with MS, when they are dealing with whatever. So the righteous indignation out there about Tony Evers, oh my God, wants to make marijuana legal and give it to all the school kids is absolutely ridiculous. So again, this is not a you know, we're just going to shove pot onto everybody. We have to be adults about this discussion. We really, truly do. Listen to the people who have used it. Listen to the family members who have had to put themselves in difficult situations to go out and get it for their mom or their dad or their son or their daughter. So I'm glad that this is in the budget.
Before we do your stock picks, let's just note for the record that Wisconsin is officially out of the federal court lawsuit filed in Texas, now pending before, I think, Court of Appeals in New Orleans to void the Affordable Care Act. Of course, former Governor Walker, former AG Schimmel had filed that suit. The lame duck law said Wisconsin could not withdraw without legislators' okay. But after Judge Neese said void, Governor Evers and Attorney General Call asked to withdraw, and significantly, the federal judge did approve us getting out of that lawsuit this week. So that's a big deal because now President Trump says he's not going to try to reform health care, and the only window for expanding Medicaid is under the Affordable Care Act. Okay, enough of that. Your stock picks.
So Eric Enrich and Sacha Rhodes Conway Rising, one run the mayor's race in Green Bay, one in Madison.
Right.
Let's start with Madison, change election. Paul Sloggin has been mayor off and on since basically I've been on this earth.
1967?
Well, I was in the city council, I think, 71-ish.
71, okay.
73. I was born in 73, so yeah. But so she represented change, you know, doing a different direction. So that's part of why she won. Genrich talked people up in Green Bay so that he focused not on partisan issues. Now, this is a former Dem lawmaker, member of the assembly. Didn't focus on partisan issues, focused on the budget, roads, parks, infrastructure, fixing the Green Bay budget. One big, 57%, which is, you know, for a Democrat in Green Bay, that's pretty good for a mayor's race.
Well, and also, just to PS on that, Eric Genrich and Corey Mason are kind of symbolizing young Democrats who want to move up, but they had been in the minority in the state assembly, so they chose to run for mayor. There's also a bit of a generational change. I mean, Mr. Sloggin is 70-something, and
absolutely,
the new mayor of Madison is not, and Genrich is not as – he's younger than outgoing Mayor Schmidt.
Yep, and I was told that don't look for Eric Genrich trying to move up and run for something else. He's going to be start to be mayor for a while. Don't expect to run for state senate or Congress anytime soon. He's focused on that job.
Okay, and mixed.
So Danny Kelly, so we talked last week about the dynamic forum with what we thought was going to happen in the Supreme Court race. Now it's a totally different dynamic. The question is still there. Who's going to help him or go after him? Because now, assuming again the Hagedorn's win holds up, goes to a 5-2 conservative majority. That means next spring, at best, Dems can close it to 4-3. So are they as motivated to spend money in that race? For conservatives, do you feel juiced up because of what happened on Tuesday, or do you go, look, if there's a Democratic primary for president going on same time as this race, there's just no way. Because if you're talking, like, look, go back to 2016. There were roughly a million Democratic voters for the president's primary, 1.1 million for Republican primary. Rebecca Bradley got about a million votes. Joanne Klopperberg about 900,000, right? Mm-hmm. Both saw that drop off. If we have a million people turn out in the Democratic primary for president next year and 500,000 vote for Kelly voted for Hagedorn, that's not a contest, right? So can you make up that gap? I just don't know if you can, and people just don't know right now. What's it going to look like? Will there be a primary still going on Dem's side, maybe both sides? And who wants to spend the money with the dynamic that's going on?
Okay, and just a quick PS. The only announced candidate against Kelly, assuming Justice Kelly runs, is Marquette Law Professor Ed Falone, who ran and lost against who is now the Chief Justice, Rogan Zach.
Many others will kick the tires in that race, I promise you.
Okay, and then falling?
So teacher salaries, so WEAC gave me numbers this week. We have dropped, our average teacher salary has dropped to 33rd in the country at $51,469. That was of 2017-18. 2010-11, we were number 18 at $54,195.
A loss of $3,000?
Yes. Now, WEAC attributes that to Act 10, right? It changed the rules about collective bargaining, everything else was going on. The national average for this past school year, 2017-18, was $60,462. WEAC wants to set a new standard of starting salary $50,000, a benchmark of $100,000 if you've got a master's degree and hit other requirements. To do that, however, they don't have a final price tag. They said it would cost hundreds of millions of dollars. That's going to be a hard pitch to make in the Capitol. Republicans control the budget right now, saying, yeah, okay, I know governors wants this much for schools right now, but let's talk about this for teachers. Not saying they don't deserve it, but they want to take a piece of what's out there right now in this budget to begin the process, and then phase us in over time.
Starting pay at $50,000 for starting teachers, mm-hmm. and eventually, as you get more credentialed, $100,000?
That is a target.
Non-starter in the Republican
legislature. That price tag is going to be tough sell.
Yeah. Okay, let's look real quickly. The week ahead, at some point, maybe this afternoon, we're going to get a Court of Appeals order dealing with the 15 appointments that the governor did not reappoint. That's coming. We could get a decision from Judge Neubauer on a recall next week. And Wisconsin Eye is in Janesville covering the Joint Finance Committee budget hearing, and we'll be there next Wednesday in Oak Creek. We're in Janesville today, Oak Creek next Wednesday. I'm Steve Walders.
And I'm J.R. Ross.
That's Rewind for April 5.